This is the Financial Coconut Podcast, Singapore's first personal finance podcast network. My name's Rakesh, and together with Anthony, we scour the net to find worthy financial news and derive insights for all you coconuts. We are part-time investors with an intense full-time career. If we can do it, you can too. So join us every Wednesday for TFC's weekly market updates. Hello, coconuts. Welcome to another weekly episode where we scour the net to find worthy financial news for you. This week, three stories. We're going to start off with chips again, NVIDIA earnings, and then a little flip side on there with Intel earnings. And we're going to end off in China with Baba. It is earnings season. We're definitely going to bring you some good news here, maybe some bad news. Really how you want to take a look at that. I think one point is we are looking outside of Singapore now. We want to inform you guys, please let us know on the Telegram group if you want something a bit more local. For example, you know, REITs, shipping companies, DBS. What we've been doing over the last couple, we've noticed that that's something that you guys want to listen to. So we're more than happy to do that. A quick note on Telegram group and we'll change it up accordingly. Until then, let's get to it with these three stories.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hey, coconuts, welcome back to another weekly episode with me, Rakesh.
And Anthony, on the 28th of February, last day of the month.
Yeah, and short month.
I think we are on, yes, short month. We are on episode number 80, I think, of Market Updates. We've been doing this for too long, man.
really quite long. Speaking of which, I'm finding it hard to talk, actually. I've been yelling a bit. Is it sounding okay, Anthony?
Yeah. You still sound calm. Don't yell at us. I mean, we have some earnings calls today. You know, it's okay. It's not that bad. They'll come back and do better next time.
Yes. Very funny. I felt like the guy yelling. You know how in Wall Street olden days you used to see people yelling at the screen when I was a kid, and then I never know why they were yelling at the screen. Yeah, now we know.
I mean, I yell at the screen every day. I shake my fist at the screen. I try not to throw my laptop around because cannot replace. Yeah. They still need to do work. Now it cannot be very bad. Cannot anyhow change jobs. So, you know, it is what it is.
Absolutely. All right, coconuts, welcome back. We have three stories as usual. This week, we're going to touch on NVIDIA, Intel, and Alibaba. We decided to go with chips all and, right. Well, Baba lah. Got to do something Asian.
And sesame.
Actually, on that note, coconuts, please let us know about this. We have seen some traction along local stocks around REITs, Sheng Siong, you know, maybe others there. More than happy to do more of those content. Please let us know in our Telegram group if that's what you'd like. That would be great. We'll make sure that this segment will also focus a bit more on some closer to home stuff. Let's put it that way.
Yeah, I mean, what, Keppel fell 25% this weekend, this week, right? 25% a day or something. Yeah. It was quite, like, it's expected, you know, it was all known, but you see the figure get shocked. And if you don't read the news, you also get a bit surprised. So, I mean, we are happy to talk about things like that if there's interest.
Yep. Absolutely.
But, I mean, you know, we're here. It's always fun. So we should always talk about NVIDIA.
True. We can start with that. But we are here for you guys. If you want us to change the content, anything, let us know. Don't worry about us. We have our day jobs, but it is more important for you.
And I mean, you can talk about anything. It's just sit here. It's not for entertainment, right? Not actually following our advice. So yes.
We get to prediction time later. Then we see.
okay, can. We try. I think this week of prediction. It's raining now, my crystal ball quite clear.
Oh, wow. It's been raining the whole bloody week, man. It's quite bad. It's
terrible. I'm going on a Sentosa staycation like this week. Right. Yeah, I hope it clears up.
fair. All right. Anthony, take us away with NVIDIA.
All right. NVIDIA, I mean, you know, NVIDIA, everybody knows, right? We have talked about it again and again and again for many, many months now. And you know, I think this was a call where they really, really jumped on the AI hype trade. Right, and they said, oh, we can do AI as a service. So you have IaaS, PaaS, and now you have AIaaS. Right? It's like too many vowels.
Too many S's.
Too many A's. we are not all Asians, right? Not all A students. But yes, but anyway, back to their earnings. You know, I think that the numbers wise, they did okay. Ish, all slightly above expectations. Revenue was 6.05 billion, so that's actually 21% down from the last year. But you know, in context, it's not too bad. They still expect a bit of growth next quarter to like 6.5 billion. And God, just for more context, the first time Nvidia had a quarterly revenue above 5 billion was only in 2021. Right, so even if you ignore 2022, you know, they've had 30%+ growth in a year and a half, 2 years, less than 2 years. Wow. So you know, it's and this is a slowdown. So hey, this is not bad lah, right? Obviously, still massively profitable. Profit was 1.4 billion. So you know, even their profit margin is like 20+, 30-odd percent, which is great. If you want to dive a bit deeper, you know, I think the clear drag on their growth was gaming and then CPUs, which has been telegraphed for like the last few quarters as well. It was down 46%.
Okay, wow.
And we'll talk about that later with Intel and, you know, personal computing as well, I think. But you know, unlike Intel, they have their data center portion, which is going gangbusters. Their automotive portion, so they've been selling chips to cars, has also been growing like I think it grew like 50% year or something. So it's only at 200 million, you know, 200-300 million, relatively small contributor, but it's becoming a sizable pie lah. So you know, I think it's growing well. Data centers going really, really well. It's as big as their gaming portion now. So one fell a lot, one rose quite a bit. So they're about equal now. And I think that the trend is that, you know, from next quarter, data center will overtake gaming, and that will be the, you know, core contributor of their revenue, which we kind of predicted like 9 months ago. So hooray.
We did say that actually with data centers, remember?
We did say that, right? Like the future is not gaming, the future is data centers, and ta-da, it did not take that long to play out.
Fair enough. And correct me, are they also building out chips for cars or anything like that? Like EVs or...
Yeah, so they do sell chips for cars. Not so much like, you know, how to control your doors and like your aircon or that sort of thing. But I think more too closer to the OS and the more advanced portions of it. I think as part of their earnings call, they signed a deal with Mercedes to provide the essentially the central nervous system for the car. So sensors and all that. I think and you know, people kind of say, Tesla, is it a tech company, is it a car company? Because, you know, they have kind of reimagined the car and everything is so connected now within the car, right? I think the legacy automotive makers are kind of catching up to the idea. Right, which is why, you know, Nvidia is just going, oh, hooray, you know, I have a new market to tap into now.
Fair enough. Yeah, I think that's a good one.
Wow. Yeah, but so I mean, doing it, it will... Yeah, they're doing not bad. The car portion will take a long, long while, I think, before it becomes really, really substantial. I mean, right now, it's still at 5% of revenue, slightly less than that. So, you know, it's not... I mean, it's a contributor, it's a good contributor, but it's not going to be like, you know, they're not going to be an AI car company, a car AI chip company in the next 3 years, right? That's just
true. But they're going to be a data center chip company in like 3 years.
They are a data center chip company. Yeah, or a GPU, or a data center GPU chip company, you know, unlike AMD, which is also a data center chip company, but more on the CPU side.
Cool. Wow, that's not bad. I think this one is something to watch. We have been watching it since, what, 9, 10, 1 year ago. Anthony, I think we started to talk about this.
Probably. With, I mean, it's been quite a ride. I've had their yeah, I mean, I bought it a year ago, then went down, buy some more, come up, sell some more. You know, it's a roller coaster, quite fun. I think it's been up, what, 70-80% since its lows last year. So, wow. You know, if you're ready to catch near that bottom, up to today, it's been good. Of course, if you caught the top in 2021, it's not so
still
good.
Still not quite there yet.
Still not quite there yet. Nice. But yes, actually, I wanted to talk a bit more about AI.
Yeah.
Because everybody's talking about AI, right?
Tell us about this AIAAS.
Yeah, so AIAAS is, I think they are really trying to capitalize on this. When people were talking about, like, you know, ChatGPT, the rise of large language models, and we talked about it a bit as well about a month back, right? When ChatGPT was kind of, or it still is all the rage, but when it was new, you know, I think people were getting very concerned or very, well, thinking about, well, you know, where does all this computing power come from? And therefore, who will be the winner? And I think in the episode, we talked a bit more about, well, you know, what's the business model for ChatGPT, right? But hey, you know, one of the early winners of this whole, you know, shift to AI and chatbots thing is really NVIDIA, because their chips at least are the most commonly used and the most powerful for AI model training and I mean essentially, you know, they're the most powerful GPUs that you can have, which are the workhorses for, you know, training these models, right, and running the simulations. So that's led to, I think, a greater demand for their chips, right? And if people think that this is the next big thing, if everybody's going to invest in AI and, you know, these sort of models, what really happens is that the need for compute and the need for chips will increase quite exponentially. And that's where the anticipation is that NVIDIA will not profit. Right? And then now they'll come and say, oh, besides that, we as NVIDIA also want to sell AI services directly to companies through cloud platforms. So we'll sell you access to our supercomputers. You know, we'll train some AI models ourselves. We'll sell you access to those models, and this will all generate revenue for me.
Wow.
Yeah. So it's a bit like, you know, CUDA Mark II, right? So NVIDIA has this essentially, I think, compiling software called CUDA, which everybody develops on, and that runs their, you know, traditional GPUs, and that's a bit of their moat because developers are used to it. This just takes it to a different context in, you know, the AI world, right? Where they are really finding products that they might be able to sell and leverage on, you know, as the hype continues.
This is just interesting. I mean, AIAAS, I mean, the first time I'm hearing about it, by the way, Anthony. So thanks for bringing this up.
I think they invented it, so.
Right. I mean, technically, you can even argue ChatGPT is AIAAS, because you can type in something and they can write an essay for you. They can write some code for you. Technically,
yeah, it's a service. You're just not paying for it. It's not B2B, right?
It could be.
it could be. And I think there is a B2B element of ChatGPT now and OpenAI, right? Like their partnership with Bing is probably, you know, revenue generating in a sense and therefore B2B, right? So yeah, you know, I think you're right. And that was one of the possible models for OpenAI, right? They just license their ChatGPT model out to, you know, third parties who will then build either UI, UX on top of it, or they'll just kind of refine it or limit it to the use cases that they want.
Yeah, exactly.
So you know, I think that is ostensibly AIAAS. I think where NVIDIA is coming from is maybe a bit more of a foundational level, right? So instead of just using, you know, ChatGPT 3.5 now, I think you have access to different models who presumably want to do different things. I don't know, right? It's one of those things where they garner a lot of headlines, but what exactly are they selling, I think is yet to really be disclosed.
Got it. Yeah. And I think that's maybe that's the scalable element. That's where they believe that's a new revenue stream might be in 5-10 years. And this is what the companies want in a B2B angle.
And that's, you know, high margin business, right? Because you kind of create it and you license it out for repeatedly. You know. Picks and shovels, right? Still a good play.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, as usual, we say our usual thing, which is let's see how that pans out, but that's going to be years from now. As opposed to NVIDIA with this over the next year, we can see how data centers progress. I think that's probably a good angle to look into. Good thing is that they're not heavily reliant on personal gaming anymore, which at one point, you know, the 2000s, they were massively.
Or even 3 years ago, I think they were. It was like 70-80% of their revenue.
Yeah, absolutely. And I would say that's where it's a good handover to Intel, because Intel, second story, dropped quite a bit. They dropped somewhere around 30% in terms of revenue. Just pulling up my notes. Okay. There we go. 36% in terms of revenue. And it's contributed from the consumer markets and at the same time, education markets, right? So schools and so on and so forth. So it's really this sort of avenue where it's one track on Intel's front when you're looking at the percentage of revenue that is affecting them. And they need to really look at the different angles and where else they can go into. We've seen NVIDIA do this with data centers and so on. But we need Intel to...
Intel sells data center chips too. I mean, they're not very good at it.
Yes, that's what I'm going to say.
They compete more with AMD on the CPU side, but they are there, right?
True.
They are dominant in data centers. I think AMD has been trying to eat their market share and it's up to like 20%. But historically, Intel owned like 90 or 95% of the data center CPU market.
Yes.
So,
CPU, yes. AMD is also facing issues, actually. So I mean, we're not really talking about that, but AMD is also facing issues at this point in time.
Their earnings is next week, so maybe we'll talk about them. Or we'll just say, they were facing issues. We're not talking about them again.
So these are issues that they're currently facing, something around 7.6 billion in terms of consensus that they were supposed to hit and they haven't. And that's quite bad. Number two is the fact that they mentioned that customers have lowered their inventory as well. So that's something that the customer's keeping less of. Do you know much about that, Anthony, by any chance, in terms of this inventory?
Yeah, I mean, you know, that was also kind of the same thing for NVIDIA gaming and for AMD gaming. Essentially, what all these people are trying to do is we are not going to release as many chips into the market to sell as we theoretically can, right? Because our existing retailers already have inventory. We don't want to flood the market and you know, destroy our own pricing, because then our retailers have to like discount and all that to get inventory on the shelves, right? So I'll help my retailers. I'll slow down my pace of production and my pace of passing it into the market, right? And so my retailers don't hold as much inventory and are less pissed off at me. I think this is one of those things where AMD and NVIDIA have been using the same strategy and, you know, playing the same game as well.
Yeah, fair enough. And I think, I mean, coming back to Intel as well, one of the things for me is that they expect, in the earnings call, they expect Q1 to be just as bad. They do see some sort of a recovery, but they said that Q1 is going to be a short-term headwind for them. However, one of the things that they mentioned, and entering the earnings call, the CFO actually came out to mention that they had to, this is his quote, rationalize investments, right? That's a massive buzzword, but basically they've had to reprioritize, right? They have to put money in certain areas. They need to reprioritize, restructure. And they still mentioned that their goal is to achieve, you know, $8 to $10 billion in 2025. And they have made expected cost reductions from this restructure is about $3 billion in 2023. Right, so they're trying to cut their bottom line, and hopefully with Q2, Q3, Q4 bouncing back for them, they can see the revenues increase.
Yeah, I mean, like for personal computing, again, you know, they're all singing like this. Intel, NVIDIA, AMD are all singing from the same sheet, right? Q1 2023, probably Q2 2023, we expect weakness. We want it to recover. We expect recovery like Q3, Q4. So, you know, we'll see. I mean, I don't know where they're getting it from. Maybe not. Who knows, right?
It's just conjecture at this point.
Yeah, I mean, they probably are better at guessing than we are. But, you know, I mean, I wouldn't put too much stock in it. Right.
Yeah. And with Intel, are they looking to go into GPU side, or they happily stick with their CPU side and data centers and so on?
I think they are largely focused. I haven't really looked at Intel. I saw that they wanted to do Foundry and I went, it's okay, thank you very much. Not super interested, right? Purely because they exited the Foundry business for a reason. They weren't super good at it. To rebuild that capacity and that knowledge and know-how will be a very painful process without it being that clear that they will succeed, because obviously we have TSMC and Samsung who are the clear market leaders in this. So, you know, and that's going to, and to build foundries and all that will, despite the best interests of, the best efforts of government to make it cheaper and give subsidies, will still cost billions of dollars, right? So you're going to have this huge drag on your business performance because you want to invest in this area, an area which is relatively lower margin, and an area that you don't, you have historically failed at and you don't know whether it will succeed. So from there, it's like, I'm not super keen about Intel. I know people treat it as a turnaround story. Maybe that'll work, right? Maybe they'll be really, really successful at being a foundry. They will finally catch up with...
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
AMD on the data center CPUs. I mean, they have been losing market share because they have just not been able to push up the upgrades as quickly as the market expects. They keep delaying their thing. Mm. So I mean, this whole thing just kind of points to, this is bad, right? Yeah. Like, this company isn't performing that well.
Yeah.
Right? And then they started firing people because, we need to rationalize costs. I think their leadership took a pay cut instead of firing themselves, so I guess that's a good thing. I've been too mad about that, right? If you're incompetent, you should leave. You shouldn't, not saying that they're incompetent, but if you're incompetent, you should leave and not just, you know, give yourself a pay cut. But it is what it is. So I mean, possible they can still hit their targets, right? But I think, you know, the market isn't too optimistic about it. And I think the last thing, I don't know if you saw this, was they cut their dividends.
Yes, they did. Dividends of 36 cents per share.
Yeah, and I think their rationale for this, I would guess, is just to say, we are making all these investments anyway, right? So we'll cut our dividends in terms of return to shareholders, and we will invest in our business, and we'll grow, and, you know, it'll be better in the long run, right? And I think that the market just did not like that. Not because they wanted the dividends, but I think it's just a lack of faith in the execution, right? And that's the risk to me with Intel, that they want to do all these things, you know. They haven't been doing them that well historically. What has changed for people to say that they will be able to do it well? I think that's always a difficulty of turnaround plays, and that is... probably the story here.
Fair. And I think if you look at it, right, so we have AMD eating into the CPU market for Intel. Intel is also in the GPU market trying to chip away at NVIDIA, but that's not quite working, right? So where are they, right? That's
they will have a new foundry business by 2026.
Which is still, I mean, but now until 2026, what's going to happen?
They will continue talking about their foundry business to 2026. Maybe 2025, right? We'll accelerate it.
Oh my God. That would be the big one, right? Exactly like what you said, I think it's an execution problem. It's a management problem as well, maybe. Let's see if it gets dire, right? But yeah, I mean, regardless, we talk as though they're a small player. They're not, right? They're massive.
I mean, they're massive.
Absolutely massive.
They are, I think they are massive. I think they are probably more a dinosaur than anything else, right? So it's not like they're incompetent. They're obviously very, very competent people. It's just maybe they haven't and they are failing to catch up with, you know, everybody else who has surged ahead of them, right? Kind of like IBM. Or Oracle, like, they're still huge companies, right? They're still doing really, really well and printing money like nobody's business. But, you know, I think that there's always a question of, can they continue printing money? Or like Singtel or StarHub?
No. Yeah. I mean, we have a lot of experiences here in Singapore about these dinosaur companies, lah. So.
Yeah, exactly. Right. So yeah, we'll see. And they don't have a Temasek to come in and shake them out and make them merge and try to revitalize it. Unlike Keppel and Sembcorp.
I don't know what you're talking about. Temasek does only good.
Yeah, I mean, they did good, right? They revitalized UOL. NOL? NOL or UOL? NOL.
Yeah. NOL, yes.
Shipping, right? And then sold it off.
Yeah. Awesome. All right. Last topic for today. Baba, tell us what's happening here.
Temasek Holding. I think Temasek is still quite a big shareholder in Baba. So, good for them. Good for us as well, I guess. Yes. And our CPF money.
And our...
Yeah, I don't know, right? I think Baba is one of those things that we have also talked about quite a bit over the past year and a half, actually.
It's been quite a rollercoaster with them as well. Up, up, then down, then Cathie Wood.
Yeah, I remember it was crazy when I was looking at it in like 2020, 2021, they were like $200 plus, $300. And then they went all the way back down last year to 50-something. So they're like Zoom, you know, like they went down 80% or like Snapchat or something. And this is the biggest e-commerce company in China. And this year, in January, they went up to like 110 and now they are 80 something. So yeah, it's just, if you know how to trade, it's been a fantastic stock. If you don't know, if you are just fundamentals focused, then I think it's been a bit of a difficult ride, right? And I mean, just looking, I mean, last year or 2 years ago, Charlie Munger, you know, took a huge stake in Alibaba. Everyone said, oh, you know, this is, you know, true value and all that. That's why he's bought it. And I think he came out last week or 2 weeks back and said this was the worst investing mistake he's made in his career. And he's 90 plus, right? He should have made a lot of mistakes by now. No, he's old person. So for him to call it the biggest mistake is something else. And on the flip side, you know, Michael Burry, the guy who like shorts everything, actually took a long position in Baba, right? And said, hey, you know, I think this is value I've bought. And he bought like prison companies and all that kind of stuff. But, you know, so it's a bit of a odd one, I think. But just looking at their numbers, you know, it doesn't seem that great, right? Like, yeah, last year, China, COVID, lockdowns, we have all heard that story, right? They managed to grow sales, so I guess that's good. 2%, so not. I mean, might as well don't grow lah. Huh? Net mean,
they
income,
they're still quite massive lah, right? In terms of net
income. Yeah, but I mean, you're trading at a relatively high multiple, right? You're not trading at like 1-to-1 price to earnings or like 5-to-1 price to earnings, you know. Yeah. So and this is revenue. This is not even net profit. Net income they grow a more respectable number of 12%, so that's great. Okay. But I found, and you know, but if you look at the business sectors, it's kind of been a bit weird, right? Like Taobao and Tmall, which are really the Chinese e-commerce portions, actually had lower sales, like 9% down. So that wasn't great. International e-commerce like Lazada, Trendyol, which I think is Turkish, were up like 20%+. So I think that kind of offset it. Logistics, Cainiao did really well. They were up like 20%+. You know, cloud, not so well, up like 3%. I think the whole cloud thing in China is a struggle, and it'll be a struggle for a bit, right? Unlike the US and all, I don't think they are particularly analogous. So I mean, totaling that up, you know, they have certain bright spots, but it's not great, right? I mean, you probably think of them as they are the 600-pound gorilla in the room. You know, everybody knows they are there. They are the market leader in their space. But where do they go from here? I think that's the question. And interestingly, they actually lost 20,000 employees in the last year. So, I mean, we talk a lot about like firing people and all that. But, you know, Microsoft.
So, these guys fired or?
Yeah, fired. Okay. 20,000 people. You did not hear a headline about it, right?
No. Quiet. You quiet. Hear Microsoft, you hear all the tech
Microsoft
companies.
Fire 10K, like, you know, headline news all over the world for weeks on end. These people fired 20,000 people, don't hear a peep.
No idea.
I mean, you probably heard a peep in like China, but we don't read Chinese news, so you don't hear a peep.
yeah, exactly. So, and how's the cloud's not growing as well?
I mean, 3% is growth, but not gangbusters, right? Like, during COVID times, you know, Amazon, Azure, from much larger bases, they're growing 40-50% year on year. This one, you are still in lockdown, you're growing 3%. Hey, come on, you know. You are just not getting adoption.
What's going on here?
I think that there's probably been a mix of things. One is, because they are private cloud, right? They're a private entity. Apparently, there's been a bit of reluctance for state-owned enterprises to put information in a private cloud, or in a public cloud run by a private company, which is kind of understandable, right? Yeah. And because of that, there's actually been a bigger push for a state-owned cloud provider, right? So China, whatever, SOE, that they will become a cloud provider and kind of replace Alibaba, or at least service all this, you know, SOEs and all that. So, and because of that kind of leads to a bifurcation of Chinese market, and it's probably not as big. The second part is, Chinese procurement is its own beast. They will have their own obscure processes that need to be run. They might not actually see the benefit of cloud, in a sense, right? Because their processes and all that don't necessarily match up to the advantages that cloud can bring, right? Like if you need to, you know, get everything stamped and signed physically, like, you can move everything to a cloud, that there's very little point, right? People still need to be there, and then you might have a CPU, have an on-prem server, and you can have very, very cheap labor to maintain your on-prem server rather than outsource it to someone, right? Yeah. So, you know, I think it might be that because of all these issues, cloud adoption in China just is slow and might not grow as quickly as, you know, the Western experience has been.
Okay. And I can see here in your notes, you have somewhere that they bought $3 billion worth of shares.
So they've been buying back shares.
So they think it's gonna grow? Like, what's the rationale here? Did they give anything?
I think it's partially to offset stock-based comp. I don't really treat this as a sign that management has such, you know, confidence in their company that they'll continue buying. And that's because their pace of buying, you know, over the past year or so has been relatively consistent. So it's not like, they did announce a buyback program, I think, in 2021 when the stock started tanking. So they started buying then, right? Mm. But they haven't, like, you know, they it's not like they bought a lot at the $50-something mark and then they stopped buying at 150 or 120. Like, it's more a consistent buyback scheme to, I think, take some shares off the market, offset stock-based comp, you know. Just essentially use up spare cash that they have to boost share price a bit and, you know, return some capital to shareholders.
Got you. Okay, so we shouldn't read too much into that, lah.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, and they authorized, 24 billion of share buybacks. They have only used 3. So they can continue, you know, buying back.
Gotcha.
So
at this pace, they can continue buying back for 7 years before they need to come back and ask for more approvals. They really ask for a lot.
free rate. So with these guys then, what's the play here? Is this a good time to invest? Do you think it will go up? What's next?
I don't know. I mean, as this has kind of dragged on, I've kind of not lost confidence a bit, but I think that the thesis has kind of changed slightly, right? So, you know, when in 2021, you could kind of see them as, this is growth at a reasonable price, right? They are still growth. They are huge. They are dominant. You know, they probably have some network effects, but they are still, you know, growing at a decent clip. So that's great, and their valuations were definitely not stretched, right? Even, I mean, compared to the US companies, definitely not, but even, you know, just based on history, it's relatively cheap. So, hey, you know, why not? Could be a semi-decent value play, right? And And then the crackdown started and they lost Ant Financial, Ant Group. And then you go, okay, that's kind of a huge driver of their growth. At least, you know, their ownership of it was a huge driver of their profit. So that kind of changes the story a bit. And, you know, right now, I think for me at least, it's probably down to their last chance, right? Let's see what happens, you know, post-COVID in the next quarter or two. And I say this because, you know, the story has changed, right? They are still dominant. They are still, but it's a heavily competitive market. You don't really see them getting back to, like, you know, really high margins anymore. Right, they're growing in like Turkey, which is great, but you know it's Turkey.
How
big is the market, right?
Exactly.
You know, you're growing in Southeast Asia again. Great, fantastic, but it pales in comparison to your Chinese market, right? Your Chinese market where you are dominant is you are losing a bit of that dominance. Then your cloud is not an engine for growth. Logistics is an engine for growth, but you are. It's still kind of losing money because you're reinvesting so much into it. And it's a low margin business at the end of the day, as Amazon has figured out. So, yeah. You know, even if you become the number one logistics player in Southeast Asia and China, so what? Right? Like you'll have you will have a lot of revenue, you'll control a lot of goods flow, but at the end of the day, you know, is it something that enhances a multiple? It will enhance the revenue, enhance your profits, but you know it'll probably be a drag on your margins and be a drag on your multiple. So, you know, do you really want to be a logistics company? Hey, I want an e-commerce company. You know, I want something with high margins, right? I want something tech. If I want a logistics player, I go buy a logistics company. You know, at a logistics valuation. So, you know, I think that's the concern for me, right? Like whatever is driving their growth isn't really techie anymore. They are like Amazon without AWS.
Yeah.
In which case, might as well go buy Amazon, lah, you know.
Yeah.
So I think
there are options out there. Yeah.
Yeah, there are other options out there. Or you might as well go pure play e commerce and do what? Pinduoduo, although Pinduoduo has died now in China. Right? Or go to like C Group, which we haven't talked about in a bit, which kind of shows how out of favor they've fallen. But you know, I think that it's things like that, right? Like, you want e-commerce that there's other options available now. You know, they are not really growing. There are other people who grow faster. They seem to be losing a bit of dominance. What's the advantage that they have that can sustain them through the downturn into the next? I don't see that much of it, right? And is there going to be like revenge spending and, you know, boost Amazon up? Boost Alibaba up? Well, no, right? I mean, e-commerce spiked during COVID and kind of came back down the trend after. You know, so I mean, China is probably different because they have so much better e-commerce penetration. They know how to do e-commerce a lot better. So maybe that is different. But at the end of the day, like, you know, you really don't see the end of COVID lockdown boosting their growth by that much. So I think to me it's like, I mean, I already own it, so fine. I don't mind holding it for a bit more to see what happens. But if you don't, you really have to think very carefully. Anyone to buy, you really have to think very carefully about what your thesis for this company is. Like, are they going to grow? Why do you want this? You are taking on all these other risks for what, right?
Yes. And at the same time, you have to talk about the opportunity cost, like what we said, right? There's Amazon. Yeah. There's a few other companies out there that could be much better use for your investment.
Yeah. Or even if your thesis is, you know, the rising middle class of China increasing volumes and therefore profits, go and buy an index, right? You kind of get exposed to the same, because they're already so big, you kind of get exposed to the same, you know, effect and the same size of effect without having to take on all the risk of, or, you know, Jack Ma go and offend company. Somebody again.
Fair enough. Cool. Thanks so much for that, Anthony. That was a good one. A little close to home at China, I guess. But Coconuts, as mentioned, if you want us to do a bit more local, a bit more boring stuff, as I like to call it, and for Anthony, interesting.
Everything is interesting.
Yeah. We can definitely.
I thought ports are super interesting. Why is nobody interested in ports? I saw the news today, but the UN is trying to borrow a super tanker.
Yeah. What was that about? I saw the headline.
Yeah, so apparently there's this ship stuck off Namibia, I think, in India. In Africa.
In Africa.
Which has like 100 million? I can't remember the number. A lot of crude oil on it. And because of a coup there, nobody has been able to rescue that ship. And it's rotting, so it has no power. And within a year or so, people are expecting everything to... The whole ship to collapse and all the oil to be released into the sea, which is obviously a disaster.
Oh, no.
And that would be like, I think, 2 or 3 times the size of the oil, the BP oil spill 5-6 years ago, which was like the worst disaster ever. So now the UN is like, hey guys, I need a ship, right? Like literally send a ship over. Take all this crude oil off the ship. The insurgents agreed to that. They couldn't really deal with the insurgents because they were terrorists, so subject to sanctions. So that was another layer of complexity. So it's just a mess all around, and people are going, well, we don't have ship to land you, right? Literally, shipping rates now are really stretched because of Ukraine. We have lost a very key shipping route. Everybody has to go further, so we don't have ship to land. I apologize. Or we can lend you a ship, but it'll be so expensive that, you can't afford it.
Yeah.
So that's the gist of it. Fun, right? Wow. See, we should talk about ships and ports and all that more. And like piracy. Sure.
Awesome. All right. Well, thanks so much again, Coconuts. That was a good anecdote there from Anthony. We'll see how that unravels. All right. Until then, we'll see you guys next week.
6 months time. All right, see you.
Bye, guys.
Bye.
Thanks for tuning in to this week's episode with me, Rakesh, and trust that you learned something today. If you enjoyed the session and want to be part of the banter, join our community Telegram group or follow us on social media. We also have a weekly newsletter to get a digest of the news we covered. To sign up, please click the description below. As always, we love your feedback. So share that with us at hello@thefinancialcoconut.com. Thanks, and stay safe.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.